great to be in your state. My son is a graduate of Oklahoma State, and I work with your teams here through a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I work with your teams regularly. I do chapter for the Sooners each year. I work always with University of Tulsa, sometimes with Oklahoma State and smaller schools like East Central and some of the others. So I'm in your state a bunch, do a lot of meetings here, and love it here. It's a great place, and we'll be at Falls Creek this summer, been at Super Summer. I'm with your students a lot, and it's always great to be in your churches as well. And I tell people in Texas, I say, thank God for Oklahoma, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to give you the big head, but it's really the truth. Because of the people that through Falls Creek either get saved or get called to ministry or to missions, we wouldn't have enough youth pastors in Texas if it weren't for kids that get saved at Falls Creek and called to the ministry. That really is the truth. And I don't know how much you're into the Lord of the Rings. Some of your Lord of the Rings folks and some are not, but if darkness envelops the earth, the Shire is Oklahoma. It would be the last place. And really, I've never had a bad revival here, and God just always does great things in the state of Oklahoma. It's a very special place. There's God's people everywhere, but what you have here is important, and you need to be careful that you don't take that for granted. Now, let's talk about some things, because I'm going to say the same things that the others, Brother Sammy and Pastor Rick, have said earlier, but I'm going to say them just a little bit differently, just add to it, just to build on it, this theme about the cross and this theme about evangelism, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again for one more session tonight. You understand that you live in a critical moment of time when we need power. The world's changing. You've seen the end of the modern era. What stood firm from about Christopher Columbus and the Renaissance to about, the mid-1980s is over. It was an era in which the nation state was the pillar that basically held together the culture of the entire world. Even the violence of World Wars I and II were not great enough to break it, because at the end of all that violence, basically the nation state stood firm for another half century after World War II. But something far more violent then war has happened in the last 15 years. It's called technology. And technology is the most violent force on the planet. Most scientists believe that 88%, that's 9 out of 10 of all the inventions created since the beginning of time, have been created within the last 15 years. If you've got a ninth grader at your house, or you have got a grandchild who's 15 years old, you know, a grandchild, one of your sons or daughters in school, whatever the situation, your kid or your grandchild has lived through the creation of 9 out of 10 of all the inventions since firing the wheel. Now, let me tell you something. I was at the University of Maryland speaking to their athletes a few years ago, and I made this statement in a little group of professors that I was teaching for one of our Texas colleges at the time, and I made this statement. I said, the sum technological knowledge base of humankind doubles every 3 years. And a professor from MIT, that stands for Massachusetts Institute for Technology, you graduate from that school, you start about $200,000 a year. That's the kind of folks who go to MIT. This guy looks at me and he says, Mr. Reynolds, your number's out of date. At MIT, we think the knowledge base doubles every 18 months. And I was out speaking to a Washington lobby group, the United Sorghum Growers Convention. They chose to go all the way out to San Francisco, spoke to their lobby group, and slid down to Palo Alto because I wanted to see what Stanford looked like. Pretty famous for their basketball teams at Stanford University, but a little bit better known for academics. And then one of the Stanford professors that I had a chance to just chat with said, I can't prove it, but he said, that number's probably out of date. Because of what we're learning about the human genome, the human DNA, and what we're learning from the Hubble telescope, he said we're probably doubling our basic knowledge base right now every 9 to 10 months. If you could build a computer chip the size of this auditorium, and in that computer chip you could house everything we've learned since firing the wheel, since Adam and Eve, let me tell you something, you'd have to have a building built twice this large and ready to go 9 months from now to house the chip, because that's how fast things are changing. That means it's a scary world for people under the age of 40, because you can graduate from OU, you can graduate from Texas Tech, or you can graduate from Oklahoma State or Tulsa or wherever you choose to go, Alabama. But the bottom line is that just because you graduate from that school, you can pick up the USA Today the morning of your graduation and find out that a new discovery has made everything you studied for the last 5 years completely obsolete. That's the world these kids live in. And not only that, but a job that's not even on the board today could be a six-figure job 5 years from now. It's not even invented yet. That's how fast things are changing. It's scary. And it's not just scary for kids here in our country, it's a fear they have worldwide. There's a great fear out there of too much infinity, too much change. You understand that you double that with population. We hit last month, December, we hit the first part of December into November, we hit the 300 million mark in the United States. By century middle, which would be 2050, we'll be at 400 million. By the year 2100, century's end, we will be at 500 million. That's half a billion souls. That's a drop in the bucket. There are 6.7 billion people on the planet right now. And by the year 2009, there will be 8 billion billion people on the planet. That's 2 years from now, but here's the key statistic. 75% of them, 3 out of 4, are going to be under the age of 25. The world is not a world of young people. America is a world of old people. Europe is a world of old people. But the world is a world of young people. And you understand, how on earth are you going to keep 8 billion people out of here if they finally decide they want to come here? How are you going to keep them out? We are now the fourth largest Spanish-speaking nation in the world. There are 40 million Spanish speakers in the United States. That's more Spanish speakers in America than the entire population of the nation of Spain. How on earth are you going to keep those people out when they finally decide to come here? It doesn't matter about Border Patrol. The world's about to change. And it's not just immigration to America. You're seeing population moves across the globe in a way we have not seen since the Germanic invasions that brought down the ancient world and created the medieval world 1,500 years ago. The world's changing. It's a scary world out there. We're talking about a world of technology that has caused the people in the world of the Muslims to be as afraid of you as you are afraid of them. I was talking to a couple of Muslim professors not too long ago, and I said, why did Al-Qaeda do what it did? Why did Osama do what he did when he did? He said, don't you understand technology? He said, until about 1990, we could keep our people in the dark ages. A man in Egypt can have 4 wives. In Islam, a man can have 4 wives, and if she doesn't cook his chicken fried steak just right, he can just beat the snot out of her, and there's nothing she can do about it. Listen, they could keep those people thinking that was normal until the internet and satellite and the World Wide Web. And now those women in that 1.2 billion person window are finding out there are places where women have equal rights with men. A woman can't drive a car in Saudi Arabia. Women are too stupid to drive cars. And guess what, man? Now they're finding out there are places where the woman can not only drive the car, if she's willing to work hard enough, she can actually own the car dealership. Look, I'm telling you, he said our world was going to come under unrest because you were going to win. Technology was going to change our world too. The entire world is changing. And the question is, what happens when people get scared? Here's what they do. They start screaming, give me moral absolutes. And that's the world that you live in right now. See, when people get scared, when there's too much infinity, people scream, give me moral absolutes. Look, you saw the movie Titanic. I was in Georgia preaching this weekend. In fact, it was pretty cool. I got to preach Sunday morning to the governor, Sonny Perdue. He was in the crowd. Got to give the governor of Georgia an hour of what I had to think. It was kind of fun. But anyway, it was cool. And I was in the hotel room on Saturday night, and I was watching flipping channels, and I caught the Titanic. And I love that story. I've been studying a long time. History's my field. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, that movie was well done because all the people didn't have to drown. 1,000 did. They didn't have enough lifeboats. And it's the last time that a luggage liner ever left without enough lifeboats. But 700 of the 1,700 that drowned didn't have to. But the people were afraid of change. You're on a ship that's the length of 3 football fields. It's well lit. It's warm. It's 10 stories high. And they're asking you to get off of it and get in a boat that's the length of about these 2 rows of pews, 10 stories high, in the North Atlantic, pitch black at 1 in the morning, and be lowered like a Six Flags ride, 10 stories on the outside of the ship and set out into pitch darkness. They couldn't get the people to get in the boats because people are afraid of change. But if you hold on tight, you drown because the ship went down and they lost their lives. I realize that we'd like for the world not to change. But I remember seeing a picture from the tsunami a few years ago of a little boy who stood there as the wave was coming and they were yelling at him to run. It was way too late. But he froze and the wave hit him and he died. 30 feet high. Now, he didn't drown. It broke his neck the minute it hit him. He didn't feel a thing. But I'm telling you this, I bet the last thing that went through his mind is he wished it would go away. When you have changed like you're having in the world right now, I know your desire is that it would go away. And in a place like Oklahoma, you can hide from it for a long time. Maybe you could hide from it to the very end, but it will catch you and it will roll over you and it will drown you. You either surf it and you win, or it drowns you and you die. There is no third choice. You live in one of those handful of moments in all of history when the entire table is going to flip. The fish are coming to the surface and they're in a frenzy. And even the secular sociologists recognize the entire world is going to find moral absolutes. Do you understand that the only place we have atheism is in old, white, rich Europe and America? There are no atheists in the third world. You have to have a lot to eat and a lot of money and a lot of free time to actually believe there is no God. And you know what? I'm telling you, the world is getting more religious, not less. It's not atheists blowing themselves up in car bombs in Tel Aviv and Baghdad. It's deeply religious young people. Samuel Huntington, who's the leading sociologist in the world, teaches at Harvard. Don't know if he's a Christian or not. He's written some books you ought to read. They scare you. You need to read them, though. The Third Wave. One of them is called The Clash of Civilizations. It's so important that it's required reading to graduate from Texas A&M, which, by the way, is the fourth largest research university in the world. And in that book, Samuel Huntington, don't know if he's a Christian or not, makes this statement. He says the 21st century will be the most religious century since the Protestant Reformation. Even secular sociologists recognize that when there's too much technology, there's too much population growth, there's too much immigration, and the entire system is going to flip, that people get scared and people start holding on to whatever is an absolute. And the ultimate absolute, the ultimate escape from infinity, is a relationship with God. So even the secularists recognize the world is going. That's why you see the crazies screaming out against the church right now. That's why you see the far left so angrily attacking Christianity, because they sense the movement back toward faith in God. Now here's the deal. I didn't say that we're going to come back to church, and I didn't say that we're going to come back to Christianity. You can find moral absolutes in Islam. You can find moral absolutes in witchcraft. You can find moral absolutes in Buddhism. You can find moral absolutes in Hinduism. I'm telling you, they're going to find a set of absolute values. These young people, you're not living in the modern age. In the postmodern age, if you want to make a lot of money today, you write a book talking about postmodernism. We're not in the postmodern era yet. We're in the dark age window of chaos between the death of the modern and whatever the postmodern is going to be. This isn't what the church is going to look like. And you need to be careful going off to conferences and doing the latest trendy thing, because what we're doing right now is trendy and it's short-sighted and it's not going to last, because folks already, I work with college students. The college students are already wanting to come back to stuff that's more tried and true. It's the group that's 25 to 30 that's going to resist any change, and they're the ones that were on the cutting edge, but they're already left behind. Look, I'm telling you, the world is looking. Young people are looking. They used to want us to turn down all the lights at Texas Tech when we did our thing. We do a thing every Thursday night at Texas Tech called Paradigm. John Strapp is on, and I partnered that years ago, your college guy. He's, I guess, my dearest friend. And let me tell you something. In the old days, they wanted the lights down. But since 2002 or 3, the kids are different. They say, turn it up. And you know what? They all take notes. I'm telling you that these kids are looking for absolutes. They're looking for answers. And you know what? If they find it in the church, they'll come to your church. But if you don't have it, if you don't have the power, Islam is standing out there saying, we'll show you power. Witchcraft is saying, we'll show you power. Wicca is saying, come with us, we'll show you power. You may be the most important generation, not in 500 years like Samuel Huntington says. You may be the most important generation in 2,000 years. Because the window of the Chinese people, that's almost 1.3 billion, have never heard the gospel.